Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, welcome to DUMC Online. This is the last weekend sermon for the year. Wow, 1 year is going to end and a new one coming up. Church, have you been praying how you can give towards our AGW on the 9th and 10th of January, when we will give and pledge a total sum of 5.5 million ringgit? We want to continue to be generous towards the work of the 114 individuals and organizations from around the world. And here's another story from one of the many recipients, the Dignity for Children Foundation. So this foundation is based in Kuala Lumpur, founded by Reverend Elisha Subvinder, and it is a one-stop community learning center that provides holistic care and education for 1,800 urban poor children. And here's a note of thanks from Mr. Liu Tongan, their Director of Communications and Marketing. Let me quote, DUMC have been a faithful donor and supporter of Dignity for a number of years. For 2020, the donation was especially timely. The pandemic has resulted in schools being closed and much restriction in movement. With that, Dignity had to implement alternatives to its teaching methodology. So this includes access to learning platforms, software licenses, and the production of learning materials. We are very thankful for the support provided just at the beginning of this period when it was needed for the above purposes. So we truly consider it a godsend, unquote. What a blessing, isn't it? So why don't we stand right now to read the Word of God? All right, so wherever you are right now, just hold your Bible, if you got your Bible, and hold it up, and then say it together with me. You know the drill. Are you ready? Everybody stand and hold up your Bible. Ready? One, two, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. Right. So we're going to read the Word of God right from the screen so that we all read the same version. So are you ready? Let's declare the Word of God aloud. In fact, I want you to read it two times because this is just a short passage. So from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Are you ready? All out together. One, two, go. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. One more time. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads to invite the Holy Spirit to even tutor our hearts. Holy Spirit, wherever we are right now, God, will you come and speak to us through your word? And we want to pray to that, Lord, may it not only help us, God, in our lives, but it help us, God, to be a better disciple of Jesus. We pray all this, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, as we come to the final week of this year, there are many mixed feelings. Last weekend, Pastor Sarah, in a sermon, candidly related this story of the friend who was quite affected by the pandemic and MCO, that she wished she could erase 2020 and start all over again. Well, do you feel the same way? Do you wish you could? That's an interesting question, isn't it? I mean, to erase 2020 like a hard disk, reformat, and start again with a clean slate. Wouldn't we want to do that with some part of our life sometimes? Well, the fact remains that we cannot change what had happened. We could either mourn or groan or choose joy, like what I shared at our Christmas celebration. Choice is a powerful thing God has given to us. Choice is a gift that is unique to mankind. You see, animals operate by instinct. Humankind, on the other hand, can make a choice to be either bitter or better, to remain as you are or to excel, to love or to hate, to forgive or to hold a grudge, to be generous or be stingy. We cannot blame our circumstances. We cannot blame others because one day, God will hold us accountable to every choice we make in life. Well, you cannot say, But God, you don't know my circumstances. Or you may say to God, but God, you don't know what that person did to me. You know, God will simply turn to you and say, I know, but what did you decide to do about it? Now, in Romans chapter 14, verse 12, it says that, so then, each of you will give an account of ourselves to God. It's a sobering thought there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 to 10. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due for the things done while in a body, whether good or bad. Something to think about, isn't it? So we make choices every day. And as we finish up with 2020, what choices can we make to end this year well? Well, I will give you some help in our Watch Night service on the 31st of December. Come and join us. But meanwhile, let me help you to prepare for that, because there are implications to how we end the year with the right posture of our hearts. We can make a choice either to be mournful or grateful. And here's the big idea. Thanksgiving invites His presence into our lives. Let me read that one more time. Thanksgiving invites His presence into our lives. You know, I know of someone who is losing his hearing in his left ear. Rather than mourning the fact why his left ear is not healed, in spite of many prayers, he actually said this: I thank God I can still hear with my right ear. Now I know why God gives us 2 ears. And someone I know has a problem with his right eye, and he said, I'm thankful I can see with my left eye. I know someone who had some challenging financial problems. He said, I'm thankful my family still have 3 meals a day and a roof over our heads. And I know of a sister whose father passed away recently during this MCO, and she happened to be home from overseas to visit him. You know what she said? It was a sudden death, but I'm thankful that I can see my father for the last time. And through that, in fact, at the funeral, one auntie of hers accepted Christ into her life. Remember my half full and half empty glass of water illustration? Actually, it's a matter of how we choose to see things. Many of you know, and I have shared quite often as well for the last many years, that December is a month of thanksgiving for me. For each day in the month of December, you know, I would spend time thinking about what I am thankful and grateful for that year, and then write them down in my devotional journal. Now, I want to enter the new year with a posture of thanksgiving and gratitude, rather than a posture of complaints and mourning. So, the psalmist exhorts us, and he said this: enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Psalm 100, verse 4. Being thankful and contented is a virtue. Thankfulness is reflected throughout all of Paul's letters. Despite being a man who had borne the brunt of persecutions, sufferings, hardship, dangers, poverty, rejections, and even when he wasn't healed of a lifelong ailment, he remained in a state of thankfulness. You see, his assurance from God was simply this: my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And he wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 8. This heart of thanksgiving is encapsulated in this exhortation we read earlier on. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. See, I've used this passage on Christmas Day, and I will use it again, because this is the resounding theme moving forward: to be thankful. You know, it's easy to give thanks when things are good, right? We see that all the time on social media. Rarely have I seen someone who gives thanks when things go wrong, except one, which I remember very vividly, where a brother gave thanks to God for his wife who had just gone home to be with the Lord due to a bout of cancer. I can't imagine, you know, what he has to go through. But his Facebook post said this: it has been 11 days since my beloved went to be with the Lord. She's walking and leaping and praising God, and I'm so happy for her. It still leaves me in a place of loneliness and aching heart, but I am okay because my God is supplying all that I need. What an encouragement when I read that post that he wrote. You know, it is not always easy to give thanks in all circumstances, but this is precisely the thing we must do to experience God's grace in our lives. You see, two things happen when we inculcate a heart of thanksgiving. First, thanksgiving breaks the power of the enemy over us. It is a powerful weapon of spiritual warfare. You see, when we are thankful, we invite God's pleasure over us, and the enemy no longer has any ability to hold or manipulate us in our discouragement, despair, or even anger. We begin to learn to ask not so much why is this happening in our circumstances, but the what can we learn? We may never know or control the whys, but we can certainly decide from the what's. You know, secondly, thanksgiving brings contentment. Apostle Paul's advice to Timothy simply was, but godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. He reminded young Timothy that they came into the world with nothing and would take nothing out. As long as their food and clothing, they ought to be contented. Elizabeth Elliot, who faced the tragedy of losing her husband, Jim Elliot, in 1956, killed by the very people they are trying to reach out to in the mission field, the Alka Indians of South America. And she was quoted as saying, "Discontent dries up the soul. To love God is to love His will. It is to wait quietly for life to be measured by one who knows us through and through. It is to be content with His timing and His wise apportionment." What powerful, powerful words. You know, another obstacle to contentment is that we tend to compare upwards. We look at what we don't have rather than what we have. You know, one of the easiest ways to get out of a self-centeredness is to get involved with people who are less fortunate than us. Some of the finest people I know are people who serve the poor and the less fortunate. The poor has a way of reminding us how blessed and how fortunate we are. So learn to be happy with a lot and be contented. So here's the big idea again. Thanksgiving invites His presence into our lives. Thanksgiving invites His presence into our lives. So what can we be thankful for? What's DUMC's Thanksgiving list? How can we be thankful as we think about the journey of DUMC? Well, the only way we can be thankful is to think about what we can be thankful for. It means try to remember what God had done or is still doing. You know, throughout the Bible, whenever God wanted to align or assure His people, He always said this, remember, remember, or simply put, don't forget. In such a time as this, as I silence certain voices to hear Him, He's saying to me and to us, remember, I've guided and led DUMC for the last 40 years. Remembering is such an important part of the narrative of our discipleship. In the first 4 years with my transition in as a senior pastor, it was a season of rediscovery of who we are as a Joshua generation when the baton is passed on to us. We must always remember with thanksgiving that we stand on the shoulders of giants. We would not be where we are without them. And Isaac Newton reminded us, and I quote, "If I have seen further than others, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants." So what has God shown us thus far? So let me do a quick recap, all right, to tie the whole thing together. What had happened in the last 5 years? In that rediscovery, I make a re-emphasis of our vision and mission with this tagline. All right, let's recite it together. Love God. You remember that one? Love God. Serve people. Make disciples towards Christ-likeness. And I envision some essential core habits to make that happen. And I hope that you still remember that. The five core habits. Ready? Are you ready to recite it? Okay, one, two, go. Honor, humility, be real, pass it on, and have fun. And we must not forget the topmost priority of why we do what we do. Everything we do must be for the sake of the gospel, empowered by the Holy Spirit in a spiritual atmosphere of prayer and worship. And I still remember clearly during one celebration whilst I was worshiping Him, you know, God just revealed to me a four-step movement. And so I challenged us to do the following, to step up, step out, step in, and step forward over the 4 years. An amazing thing is that many of our members have already obeyed that call and have moved out in obedience in various ventures, even to the mission field. But it was not just about individual members making the steps, but I sense in my spirit that God wanted to use this step movement to move the church forward in preparation for the next leap. Now, not only has the baton been passed, but God also reminded me that DUMC has been uniquely called to 6 vernacular congregations. Hence, the re-emphasis of all different language congregations of DUMC as one church. That's a privilege we have. So when seeking God on step forward, I sense that it was tied to the next leap and to our 40th anniversary in year 2020. That's when launching Step Forward in 2019, it was a 2-year prong to lead us to 2020. I also recognize that the number 40 carries a special significance in the Bible on transitions. The 40th anniversary this year signified the ending of a transition. The baton has been passed. His assurance to us was, "My presence will go with you." And as we step into the 40th year as a church, we launch the Impact Movement, starting with Impact 2020, a new platform to march forward on. I sense it's a time to impact the nation and beyond, not just for 1 year, but for at least the next 3 years to go, connect, establish. Go as the Lord leads, connect with whom the Lord directs us to, and establish a longer-term relationship. I hope you remember that. I'm just helping you recollect. And I challenge all of us to have a dream so big that unless God is in there, we are bound to fail. And this requires us to chase the lion with the following challenge. Think of something you've never tried. Do something you have never done. And go somewhere you have never been. And you have heard me say that my lion is going on this mission trip to Japan. Here are 2 photos to show you where Kanazawa is and the church that, you know, we hope to go. And since I could not go physically, I decided to go there virtually. And we connected with Pastor Sugi Yama and Pastor Taguchi in October, the month that I was supposed to be there. And here's a photo of the Zoom call. And then they invited me to preach in Kanazawa Baptist Church in October through Zoom. And they said, "Can you preach, you know, in November?" So here's a photo on our end and Japan's end of the link. And it's a rather interesting experience for me. And I've never done this before, preaching overseas through the internet. And so here's my lion. And I hope to visit them in the very near future. And what's your lion? And so through the Jonah sermon series, I challenge that when God says, go, don't say no. And to move out of our comfort and embrace a different spirit. God can use us and send us. I remember cautioning us too that as we chase lions, there would be battles and we will be tested. But we were not expecting such a storm. The storm called the COVID-19 pandemic. And next weekend, I will share with you that Jesus is in our storm, this huge storm called COVID-19 storm. So Jesus is in our storm as well, and how we can continue to be assured of his presence in our lives, because he said, "My presence will go with you." Our plans were originally mapped out for Impact 2020, for year 2020 and beyond. And then the pandemic hits us, and MCO was enforced on 18th of March 2020. Everything came to a standstill. What are we learning about Christ in this storm of a pandemic? When the storm of this pandemic first hits us, the Lord took us through a season of reflection, recalibration, and reinvention. And God reminded us to be quiet in spirit. When we were confined at home to reflect, re-examine, and recalibrate our lives to Him and His will. And the challenge I gave was this: will we live our lives differently after this pandemic? And the weekend celebration went online immediately. And I thank God for our media team that sort of kicked into action. And I felt the need to release a nightly devotional video so that they hear the voice of the shepherd who is their pastor and the voice of the master shepherd who is Jesus, so that they do not feel that they are alone in all this. A total of 55 devotional videos were released over that time. And here's a photo of the devotional. I received feedback that these videos went to a number of places, people from other churches even, and even overseas. A few wrote to me and said they slept better each night after listening. A sister from another church contacted my wife that she would like to send her home-cooked meal, rather, to our home as she was very ministered by the video. And she blessed us three times, in fact. And this was an unexpected blessing during a lockdown. So we need to know, we are not in control. God is. And life will embrace a new normal from here on. You know, I preach about the overarching shift that is needed, a shift from superficial faith to an authentic faith. And I talk about the need for agility to do things in a fresh new way, from celebrations, cell group meetings, equipping and training, to the way we are missional with the gospel. And this has led us to examine our priorities, what's important and what's not. And we grow to be more compassionate to communities around us. Well, while we can do Impact 2020 for now, we shifted to Impact Now. It's teaching us to look outward and not inward in the midst of the storm, because there are other people caught in this storm as well. We have learned to be the eyes, hands, and feet of Jesus during this time. And we had the privilege of serving more than 15,000 people who are in need through our social concerns hotline. And people, you have raised up ₱500,000 on top of our 5.5 million AGW. And I want to just affirm you on your generosity. You are a church of giving people of generous heart. And we are today ramping up even more through the cell groups to continue to serve people. In October, I felt the need to re-examine in a fresh new way the role of the local church God has put us in as a spiritual authority, a safe home away from home, a global mission agency, and an equipping station in the light of this new wave, but not forgetting the ancient path of the Lord. So as I reflected on what God is doing, I'm so thankful that the pandemic did not stop His people. It is a way of God telling us to trust Him. You know, He's saying, this is my church. I know what I'm doing. I still have a plan. Nothing surprises me. So we journey with Him in this storm. The most obvious question for us as a church would be, what's the next step? And so here's that picture now of the tapestry that God is showing us about our journey thus far. And certainly, there are more to come. That's only the first 5 years. What about the next 10 years? The next 15 years? These are what we Malaysian call akan datang. So let Him guide us. His presence will go before us. Remember, don't forget. Am I not enough? One church member by the name of Sarah Tan wrote me the following email message in October this year. He said, "Hi, Pastor Chris. During the start of your sermon today, you asked this question from God. Am I not enough? It's not the first time you said it, but today, I felt strongly inspired to write this poem. I just wanted to share this with you in hopes to it will be an encouragement to you. Thank you." So let me read this poem for you right now, because when I read it, it was such an amazing poem. And it's titled as, "Am I Not Enough?" So let me read. "You fill your time with things of this world, seeking to belong, seeking to feel. But do they last or quickly pale? So I ask you, am I not enough? Does the approval of others bound your heart? The likes and views a type of art? You check, you click, you swipe, restart. I ask again, am I not enough? The cycle of sun and moon repeats. Men slave for their wants and needs. A little more and I'm complete. Listen, my child, am I not enough? Challenged by fire, tempted by wind, I struggle to serve the one true King. On my own I fail, but with Christ I win. Then I ask myself, isn't Christ enough? The ocean's roaring, the storms aren't relenting. Yet here, a peace, don't bother explaining. In search of life, to create a meaning, I realize this now, His love is enough. So brothers and sisters, hear me say, you can try and try, yet fail all day. A time will come when you say yea or nay. Christ is enough. for all who stay. What an amazing, amazing poem that this sister wrote. In fact, I asked her, have you ever written poem in your life? Because you seem so good at it. She said, no, I've never written poems, but I just felt that it is something the Lord has laid upon my heart. And so what an amazing thing to be reminded that we need to remember what God has done. So as we end this year, let's move on to the next year with thanksgiving in our hearts. So what can you be thankful for? You have a few more days left for you to just think about what are the things that you can be thankful for. And so I want to just challenge you as we end this year, as we come now to a fresh new year, let's enter the new year with this promise from God. You know, my presence will go with you. And so let's bow our heads right now. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What is the Holy Spirit saying? What is he saying about Christ? Is Christ enough for you? What is he saying about what he had done in your life the entire year this year? Can you be thankful that he has watched over you, that he has kept you safe? But I sense most of all that during this time, that you need to just rededicate your life to God. Every one of us here in DUMC, let's rededicate our lives to him as we end this year and start another new year. So will you do this together with me? Will you, wherever you are right now, if you can, just stand with me right now and lift your hand to the Lord and say to God, Lord, this is my life. I want to be able to finish this year, God, with thanksgiving in my heart and enter another year with great hope. And if you really mean this, I want you to stand and lift your hands to the Lord as I lead you in a prayer to rededicate your life to God. And whatever issues in your life, I know some of us are going through some really difficult challenges. You too can raise this to the Lord in the lifting of your hands and say, God, these are the challenges that I have in my life. So whatever your needs are right now, if you need healing, in fact, you can come before God. I know it is so much in your mind that you need healing in your lives, whether it's physical healing, for some of us, emotional healing, but whatever that you need, God already knows even before we pray. So will you stand and just lift your hands to the Lord, and I will lead all of us in a prayer. Are you ready? And so you repeat this prayer silently in your own heart as you follow me. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive us when we take you for granted. May we end this year with thankfulness in our hearts and begin another year with great expectation of what you will do through us. It's not about us, God. It's really all about you. We do not want to simply come and present our plans to you and expect you to bless our plans. Rather, we want to surrender our plans to you. We want to be able to hear your voice each day as we greet you with good morning, Holy Spirit. We want to allow you to guide and lead us to do what you have called us to do and to adjust our plans accordingly. And for you to make divine appointments with someone for us to share the good news with of our Lord Jesus Christ. So bless the works of our hands, especially in the coming new year, that they will produce eternal fruits. And all God's children say, Amen. 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 Friends, if you need further prayers, you can always request at the end of this video here, you know, that someone will come alongside you and pray with you with some of the issues that you are facing. So please do that. And for those, maybe let me have a word with those who are not Christians here. You may have been coming, a friend has invited you, but you know, maybe God is speaking into your lives right now. I know this year may not be an easy year for you, and I think you are drawn somehow to seek this God. And maybe it's time for you. And I want to very quickly lead you in a prayer, if that's the desires of your heart, to invite this Jesus into your life, that you do not need to go into the new year yourself alone without this God. And if that's the desire of your heart, and when you give me an indication, or give yourself an indication, you know, if you're on this chat screen there, you know, there is this thing called raise hands. And if you could, at the count of three, just click on that raise hand, just to indicate to yourself and to God that you are willing to invite Him into your life. And let me tell you how you can quickly do this. You say a simple prayer to Him. There are three things you need to say. You say sorry, you say thank you, and then you say please. This is a common prayer that I lead many people to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. So you say sorry for the things that you have done in your life that you are not proud of. And then secondly, you thank Jesus for what He did on the cross for you, that He paid the penalty of your sin, that you don't have, you know, to die for your sins, but Jesus died on your behalf. And then thirdly, you say, please, Jesus, come into my life. And that's all He needs, because the entire experience of following Christ is what we Christians call grace, something you don't deserve and something offered to you. So if you are ready to make this simple prayer, just as a sign to yourself and to God, you know, at the count of three, click that raise hand button, so that we know also that you have agreed, you know, to accept, you know, this Jesus into your life. The count of three, one, two, three. Just do that. Then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And if you have that desire in your heart, will you bow your heads right now and follow me in this simple prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the sins of my life, things that I am not proud of. And I want to confess this before you, and I want to repent and not do them again. And therefore, I need your help, God. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that on the cross, you paid the price for my sins, the penalty of my sins. And Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. Just as I have received your forgiveness, please come into my life and make me a child of God. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you have said that simple prayer in your heart, you know, God hears that prayer. That decision is so fundamental and crucial in your journey with God. So if you have done that, we want to get to know you. And there's, you know, at the chat group button there, there were some things that you can request a prayer for as well. And you can also indicate that you have made this decision. So thank you again for joining us here even today. And I want to just close with a benediction right now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turns His face towards you and give you peace. Amen. So God bless you, and we'll see you next week in the new year.